Many things have happened to us as a seminary family since we gathered last spring. Lots of new babies have come into our lives. Lots of people have been bereaved. There are many things that have happened. Since last week, we got word from Jim Thompson, who was one of our students, that his brother-in-law died suddenly on August the 22nd, and he requests prayer for his sister and her three-year-old son. Also, Dean Ashcraft lost his sister last week, was a very dear sister to him. Many of you remember Jello Ferguson. She's been out of school now since February when she entered the hospital. She is still a patient at Rex Hospital. She is very ill, but she can receive visitors. And if you want some information and would like to go by and see her, just come by my office and we'll give you that information. There are lots of other things that have happened. Many of you have shared with me your joy. We've got some folks that are engaged and are excited about the promise of marriage. We've got people who are excited about being in school for the first time. So let's draw together our concerns as a seminary family and go to God in prayer. Creator God, we come to you this morning asking that you hear our prayers. We pray for those among us who are heavy-hearted, those who have lost loved ones by death, those whose relationships are strained, stretched, or broken, those who carry burdens of misunderstanding, mistrust, or poor health. Enfold them in your loving arms that they may know of your abiding presence and love. We rejoice, O God, with those among us who are celebrating the new life that has been born into their family. We celebrate with those who are experiencing new love and promised commitments, and with those who are excited about the new venture of theological education. We also pray for ourselves this morning. You know the burdens of our hearts. We confess to you the sins of which we are aware. Make us aware of the ways in which we hurt others, and give us your love and your compassion for one another. Now speak to us through music, through the testimonies of our brothers and sisters, through your word, and through the silence of this moment. In the strong and secure name of Jesus, who is our foundation. Amen.
Oh, join me in reading responsibly 606, please. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon the throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. One cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this hath touched my lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. And he said, Go.
May we go to God in prayer. Our gracious Father, we are indeed grateful for this opportunity to come together again to worship you. Father, we thank you for the many blessings that you have bestowed upon us. Father, at this time we ask you, Lord, to fill us with love, fill us with humility. And O God, each day that we live, may you ever make us mindful of the fact that you are the Master. We are your servants. Father, I pray, Lord, that as you continually speak to our hearts, Lord, that we may get inspired to go forward and do the work to which you have called each one of us to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Father, we pray that through this day, you may truly fill us with that love and may we share it with one another. Father, as we go through this time of sharing this morning, we pray, Lord, that all that is said and done may truly be a blessing to our hearts. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. For 12 consecutive summers, Southeastern has participated in church planting seminars across the nation. We have been involved in the Western Corridor from Seattle through Portland and San Francisco, in the inner cities of San Francisco. We have had Southeasterners out in the cornfields of Kansas and Nebraska. They have been in the coal mines of West Virginia and Pennsylvania. They've been on the commons in Boston, in the metropolitan areas around D.C. and Northern Virginia and Maryland. They've been from Miami to North Myrtle Beach. They've been in North Carolina this summer, from Franklin, North Carolina to Charlotte and Raleigh. Another summer was Wilmington to Asheville. We have seen a diversity of our peoples of the nation. We often have gone into places and tried to cultivate new work right after the Mormons and the Jehovah's Witnesses have been knocking on hundreds of doors. We have built churches beginning in funeral homes, meeting nude people in Boston parks who jump out of trucks, on quarters loaned to us by Roman Catholics. We have met a variety of peoples, have been involved in a diverse situation across this nation. Some have been able, because of God's enabling and people's commitment, to start a church in 3 or 4 weeks of the 10 weeks of the summer. Others have knocked on 2,000 or 3,000 doors in 4 weeks and have had difficulty starting a Bible study. So we come to you this morning, the 12th edition of Praxis, and we have those sitting out before us who worked this summer across several states, and you see their names and their places in the bulletin. We have just a few moments to give you some description of what went on, and that will occur as Wayne Thornton comes and tells us something about Lakeland, Florida, and Donna Moore comes and tells us something about northern New Jersey. We're happy that Bill Long is here this morning from the Home Mission Board. Bill works with Church Extension. He works with us closely in this summer project. Bill is a graduate of Southeastern. He'll be on campus today and tomorrow, as you note in the bulletin, to discuss with you these opportunities for the summer of 1987. Now let's hear about church planting.
Through the 10 weeks of this summer, we visited Jeff Hudgens and myself in Florida. Excuse me. Visited about 500 families, and of the 500 families we visited, at least 250 were without any church affiliation whatsoever, none. And it just proved to us the urgency of a church in America. We don't think it's as possible in America, but we're very much in need of churches in America. We saw people hungry for love, people who long for the type of love that says, we care about you. Paul, excuse me. Paul told the Corinthians that we must be motivated by an unselfish love, a self-giving love. And love like this opens up doors that were never possibly acquired in any times past. So we have to have love reaching doors. In Florida, it was great going door to door, seeing the people, confronting the Mormons, confronting the Jehovah's Witnesses, confronting the unchurched people at large. It was a great experience for me. This love that we portray to the world is found in 1 John 3:16, where it says, we know this is what love is, that Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we in turn should give our lives for our brothers and our sisters. Concerning the obstacles we faced, many in Florida, in Lakeland, as I'm sure the other practice members did as well, there are a host of obstacles. But the biggest thing I guess I learned of everything through the Praxis program was concerning the need for love in the world. We have to meet people at their need point, much like the example of a starving person. I can witness to a starving person all day long, and until I feed that person, they'll never listen. We have to meet the needs of the people, and in meeting the needs of the people, exemplifies God's grace through us to that person so that they might see the love of Christ in us. The reason I concluded this summer that we're not growing as Christians, the reason we're not growing as churches, The reason we're not growing at a Southern Baptist Convention to the degree that we should grow is the fact that we are not making ourselves accessible, acknowledgeable, and claiming the actual miraculous intervention of the supernatural acts of God as they portray into the everyday lives of man. We've got a grave need for churches out there, and I would like to urge you consider the work this next summer as Praxis members, that your eyes will truly be open as to the needs in America for sharing the love of Christ in you.
My work this summer was done with a young man by the name of Rodney Godoy, who is a Guatemalan from the Bronx of New York City. We were in the suburbs in a little bedroom community of New Jersey doing probes into starting a mission to the Hispanic people. While there, we saw many dynamics of being a foreigner in another country, of people who are taught that the American way is best, who try to live up to American standards, who are trying to throw away their own culture and their own blessings of who God has created them to be so that they can meet the needs and the qualifications of being an American man. While doing the probes in New Jersey, we did two areas. First, we started in the city of Keyport, found there no need for a ministry, and I questioned at this time, why was I to judge and how did I have authority to judge whether or not these people needed a ministry? But we did that based on talking with people to see where they were members. There were three Hispanic ministries already established. And also met only two people who were unchurched and had no desire to be in church or to know God. We went to a second area, and there is where I began to see a yearning and a need for Christ as people live their everyday life. We had no idea where Hispanic people lived, so we knocked on doors. And as we knocked on doors, we met people who were Catholic by culture, but had no idea of a living and a personal faith in God Almighty. We found them with many different needs, low income, often below minimum wage. We found women who would have between 2 to 8 children who were not married, who would live with 1 to 3 other men in their homes. We found children who had to deal with parents who spoke no English, who often did not know Spanish well. We dealt with people who lived in poor housing conditions, also overcrowded housing. We found one apartment who housed 15 people in a 1-bedroom apartment. And for me to see all these things and to try to imagine what life would be like with all the hardships, with not knowing what was going on around, to not have a ministry to them in a language that they could understand. And I knew that God was there for them. Then I began to question, what is grace? Is grace to these people me coming in with a Bible and saying, you're a sinner, and this is how you can become Christian, when it didn't mean anything to them? And I realized that an incarnational witness, a model of Christ, just might possibly be the answer to them. Our summer's success was not measurable by how many decisions were made. Our summer's success was not how many people had attended our Bible studies. It was not how many people we found or talked to. It was realizing that even with one individual, that maybe God has spoken. I believe all else above from this summer and the struggles of everyday motivation and making myself go to look and find people, that God is a searching God, but he's not only a searching God. God is a finding God just the same. Success for us is knowing that we're faithful to what God has called us to be and then to do. You know, Paul said, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. I didn't know sometimes how God was speaking, but I know more than ever that it is God who knows the hearts and minds of men, and it is God who speaks through me, that I may trust in God, that in my faith I can be a living reminder of what Christ has done in my life. Thank you.
156 seminarians went out from across our six seminaries, from our six seminaries across the country this year, involving themselves in church planting. We don't have the final record yet as to how many churches were started, but our record has been, with the practice program from the beginning, during the summer in which the students work, 50% of the teens will begin what we consider a new church. To us in church planting and in church starting department, a new church is any time a group of people are brought together around the word and continues. It actually might be the beginning of a church that looks like it, with regular services, what we generally consider church. It might be that it's one or more home Bible studies. And if it continues, we consider that the beginning of a church. For out of those home Bible studies have grown some strong, strong churches. For the 50% of the students who work and something is not begun, we do not consider that a failure. We consider the fact that they went, that they were faithful, that they worked. As Donna said, did not measure the success by the numbers that were there, because the seed has been sown, and it could be at a later time, and usually is in a half of the other situations where they do not begin, that in the matter of 6 months to 2 years, another church begins out of that which we said did not begin. The Home Mission Board is committed to Bold Mission Thrust. I had the privilege of worshiping in the church where one of our outstanding Southern Baptist leaders is pastor in another state, coming back from vacation. And as you know, there's been a few little struggles and problems at the Home Mission Board as far as interpretation and decisions that were made. This person said, "I'm so upset about what's happening at the board." He said, "You know, Bold Mission Thrust to most of us was bad on the back burner, and now it's off the stove." I don't believe that. I believe we're going to keep our commitment to Bold Mission Thrust. And that means to let everybody in the world hear of Jesus Christ and his love and his saving grace by the year 2000, and give every one of them a chance to be a part of a compatible fellowship of New Testament believers. That's what praxis is. It is, as someone said, taking serious the Great Commission, and in Bold Mission Thrust, putting a date on it, saying we're going to accept the Great Commission and seek to achieve it by the year 2000. That is only 13 and a half years away. And on about the second week of July, we reached 5 billion people in the world. In 1978, we reached 4. From the beginning of creation until then, it took us that long to reach 4 billion. And in that period of 1978 to 86, 8 years, we added another billion people. It's going to take a miracle of God and our commitment to be faithful. Because if we're going to reach America for Christ, our present churches, at their rate of decline, really, are not going to do it. It's going to take new churches to do it. I trained some what we call new church probe consultants in Kentucky Convention. Friday was a week ago. And the church extension director for the Kentucky Convention said, had it not been for the new churches started, we would have lost in the last 15 years in number of churches. We had a net gain of 3, with over 700,000 new residents of our state. In the state of Georgia from 1970 to 1985, there have been over 1,200,000 people who have been added to our population. And the Georgia Baptist Convention reported during that period from 70 to 80 a decline of number of churches that were affiliated with the convention. Our old churches are just not going to do the job. In the areas of efficiency and evangelism, our new churches are more efficient in winning people to Christ than our older churches. And today, there are 150 million people in America that are unchurched, according to the Research and Statistics Department and Division at the Home Mission Board. We have the mandate. Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? And then said I, go. If you want to do what Acts is all about, we invite you to pray and ask God to send you on mission, even this coming year, in the Praxis experience. Dr. Nelson Tilton is director of the church starting department, of which I work. And he's discovered something this year. He said, we just used the word Praxis because we knew it had to do with practical experience and doing that which we say we believe. But he said, I went and discovered when you take the Greek alphabet and use it to spell praxis, it's the same word in the Greek for the book of Acts. He said, I didn't know that when we chose this name. And so what we're doing, and these students have been doing, has been doing what they did in the first century, sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with those who know him not, and planting churches, New Testament body of believers. Practices of God. It's a special thing because it lets the seminarian not only do that which has to do with the classroom study and theory, but put out into practice in everyday life the call that we have to be on mission in our setting where we are. I want to thank Dr. Braswell for his leadership for these 12 years and all the students who've gone out from Southeastern, and the nearly 1,500 to 2,000 students who've gone out from all of our seminaries and have planted about 1,000 churches that are now functioning as the body of Christ in given communities. I want us to be open to what God says to us when he speaks to us, and maybe you will have that call even today to involve yourself in direct missions in this way in the coming summer. The church that I'm a member of was begun by two young ladies. A year into our birth, we also supported a praxis team to start another church in the area adjacent to our present church community. My pastor was a praxis student one day that I had the privilege of supervising in our state. And the door is open for career missionaries in church planting for praxis students. We give somewhat preference to praxis students who've had the 10 years experience when they apply at the Home Mission Board to be involved anywhere in church planting, because we believe it's the continuation of God's call that began in the praxis experience. God is in the midst of it. The New Testament action of the first century being realized in our day. It's exciting to plant a church. Father, we thank you that when you call us by the Holy Spirit to receive the Lord Jesus as our Savior, you so called us to be open to your continual speaking to us in different directions. When you call us into the ministry,
You opened doors for us to serve you, to test that call. And help us, O God, in a needy world, to be willing to be missionaries where we are in a country that so desperately needs God's love through the message of Jesus Christ. Thank you for the promise of the Holy Spirit to guide us today, to dwell within us, and to strengthen us. We make our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.